Our next speaker is Tom Rankin. Tom is a spokesperson for the local community at the Ashley River near Squamish. This community is trying to save the river in the Whistler, all the rivers in the Whistler Squamish area, and apparently one third of these projects are in this area. One third of all the projects in BC are in this area, and so they are contesting private power in this area. And the one in particular that I think has been in the news and in the forefront has been the one under the auspices of LEDCOR. So we're going to hear from Tom Rankin.
Does everybody have a copy of the Common Ground article? Everybody seen that? No, I'm just wondering if everybody's seen it. Oh. Is there anybody here from private power? One person? Two people? Are you guys small developers or big developers? International developers or local developers? Water license holders? Yeah?
Hi, Paul.
Oh, that's one in yours?
I was going to say something for
wind energy. Okay. And everybody else that's here is just a regular citizen interested in stuff? Anybody here pay utility bills? It's interesting that Seabreeze would show up here today because the thing that we're up against is an evolution in our society where our free society is being turned over to private interests. And, you know, they got a lot of money to spend. They get a lot of money. They're stealing our rivers. They're hurting you. They're going to cream your children. The interesting thing about our mindset is that it's difficult to take ourselves forward. David Suzuki talks about that when he talks about, you know, the climate change issue and the way that it'll happen, as it'll happen quickly at a point. And we seem unable to grasp that somehow in our minds. And I don't know why that is, but it's just the way that it is. So I don't have anything personal against Seabreeze Energy or any of those guys in the private power industry. You know, I understand that we've got an incredibly corrupt political leader, and he's just turned it over. So, I'm not a politician. I'm a farmer, and you know, we're like from up country here. Trafford Hall's from Kitimat. He believes in Canada. And Grace McCarthy, she's from a real small place, and she's here on her own dime, and I'm from a small place, and I'm here on my own dime. And what's happened is that we've had experiences where we have found our society not acting the way that it should. We went through a long process up at the Ashley River. The Ashley is an incredible place. It has a canyon that will just knock your socks off. You walk into the canyon, you feel the spirit. The kayakers there are, you know, great guys who, you know, have stood in front of corporations and listened to them. I won't swear, but it's bad. It's just sad to watch this stuff happen. They've tried to bring the value of the water forward and, you know, talk about the spirit of the place. Spirit's a big issue for a lot of people there. And it was to be saved. There was a land resource management plan up there that went on for years. And so we in the valley up there felt pretty comfortable. We lived north of the Squamish Nation lands, and up above us was a tree license, and the Ashley was across from us, running into the river, and you know, it was pretty safe. And then along came LEDCOR Industries. They bought a water license, you know, like the Seabreeze folks have a right. They bought a water license that the government gave them, and they came forward with an application, a zoning application, to change to put an industrial plant, a pump house down on the Ashley Flats. So, you know, we had heard, and some had given us, there was a rumor that we all in the valley had settled, mitigation, it was a new word. We had mitigated for the Ashley River, for we were going to receive a playground set. And we didn't know what color it was, so we thought we'd go to the meeting and find out. And what we discovered was that this company had been doing a lot of work in the back rooms, and then we heard all this stuff about water licenses and all these projects that were under 50 megawatts. And what did that mean? And what that meant was that all these deals that were going on quickly could be done in the back room. Their only zoning was the only place where the public could see them. The rest of it was all hustle, hustle. So what was the problem? How come there was such hustle going on? What's with the big speed? Why so fast? And what's with the lies? How come they can lie? And why is the government not stopping them? And how come Trafford can go to court the other day and have the government lawyers stand up and say that Alcan has the right to do with the water what it wants? If you know, there's a problem. We got a serious, serious problem here. So up at the Ashley, we went through a long zoning process, real nice people, you know, grandparents, local folks went to these meetings, dragged themselves out time after time, essentially decided that they were being insulted enough by the people out of Ledcor that it was time to bail out of the meeting, so we just stopped. And the regional district said no to the zoning, and then Ledcor came back again, they said no to the zoning again, and then bang, a year later we get this Bill 30 thing. And Ledcor is in the Ashley now blasting away right today, right now. And they're not talking to the government. They're not talking to us. You know, people honk their horns when they drive by our farms now. And they've broken the spirit of the place. So I don't like that. And I'm in a position where I don't know what to do. With if we're talking to people now and telling people what's going on, and yet things are happening very rapidly. Seabreeze fought for 15 years against the people at Christina Lake, and bang, all of a sudden, after Bill 30, now Bill 30 didn't affect them, but suddenly, change. Now they've got their allocations, all of a sudden, you know, they're trying to get their power purchase agreements, all these things, what's a power purchase agreement? They changed from $50 to $100. How is that change happening so quickly? What's with all this change at BC Hydro? And what's going on with our public power systems? And isn't there a tremendous amount of history about public power and private power? And, you know, we in this country have the power to regain control of our systems. And what the corrupt government that we have, I mean, it's what they're doing is they're trying to overwhelm the population with these changes. These changes, these huge changes to Hydro take time. How many people remember the Laxton incident with Hydro and Pakistan? Anybody remember that stuff? Well, you know, Hydro is such a massive thing. You know, it's the backbone of the economy. The books are written on this stuff. Public ownership of water it's a cornerstone of an economy. You know, you go to Colombia and 12 families have all the assets. So all the people, us folks, we're all drug dealers or insurgents or, you know, we're banging on the doors. Well, that's what's going to happen to the future generations of this province if you don't hang on to your water assets. Because in a changing world with climate change coming on, etc., you lose your water asset, lose your power systems, and you're in big trouble. You're in huge trouble. And the NAFTA situation and the, you know, all that sort of thing results in your total loss. This is not a situation where we can turn around after a bad government and pick it back up. The corporations have been working on this for some time. Guys like Seabreeze are just beneficiaries of it. You know, the Ledcor guys are just beneficiaries of it. All these projects that were built up in the Squamish area, there's I think 11 or 12 of them. They're in their second or third ownership, and they've only been there for 3 years already. So they're migrating up into larger and larger companies. A guy can get a water license for a few thousand dollars, and once he's hooked up with a power purchase agreement, bang, he's a multimillionaire. You know, the people at the Ashley, Ledcor, who run the Independent Power Producers Association, paid $10,000 for a water license. The net present value of that water license is Dr. Calvert?
I don't have a number in my head right now. You're stringing it on me, but it's a lot. It's a lot.
It's you know, close to $1 billion. So that's a, you know, 10 grand to a billion. What happens is you get these really greedy people, you know, really greedy people that have the capital to push the public aside. So in our situation, we're looking at a river that we just loved and thought it was safe. And so we had a long process, and the government pushed us out of the way. Well, how come the government pushed us out of the way? What did we do wrong? We pay our taxes, we pay our utility bills, we're just normal people, and why did they push us out of the way? And if there are 400 of these river licenses going on right now, why couldn't we have kept one river? What was wrong with that? Why couldn't the people at Christina Lake have kept Cascade Falls if they brought their values forward, which is what we're supposed to do in our communities? That's the way our government's supposed to work. So what's really happening here is that our governmental systems are slipping out of our hands. And you're getting an early view of it because there's some people that are unhappy about what's going on with water licenses and BC Hydro, and now you're suddenly learning about it. So it's not just a normal situation where you can, you know, digest this data and go on and talk about it next year and maybe decide if run-of-river projects are green or not in February. Because the time is right now to get a hold of the situation and do something about it. We are in a position where we either do something about it or we don't. And obviously up in the Ashlew, they're in there working, and we don't want them in there. Municipal governments are meeting next week in Victoria on one of hundreds, actually, of resolutions that they're dealing with is this Bill 30 thing. And they'll vote to rescind it, most likely, because it's an incursion into their authority to do zoning. So it affects every single municipal government around the province. But again, you know, when you've got a dictatorial situation like we do here, the word dictator may be a bit of a stretch, but when you have a parliamentary majority, when you have a parliamentary government, and you have a majority situation, you're in a dangerous position. If you happen to have a bad spirit up there in the top chair, you're in real deep trouble. And we are in really deep trouble. You know, when people fight, all due respect, guys, I'm not trying to hassle you, and thanks for putting your hand up, but for 15 years, the people at Christina Lake fought to keep a valued little area. 5 minutes? I got it. And, you know, like, that's bad news. If I was the corporate guy behind that, I'd get my water licenses and I'd walk back over to those people and I'd apologize to them and give it back to them. You know? Okay, I got a few minutes, so I'm going to give you a quick little overview. Dun, 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 dun. Way back when, you all heard of a company named Enron? Those guys aren't dead. Ken Lay died, Fastow's in jail, but the rest of them are around. The finest asset that they knew of on the continent was the water assets of BC Hydro. They knew that. They got into it. They got close. They backed off. They're back big time. They're back. They're back in all sorts of areas. They're underneath us in associations and grassroots organizations. They're on top of us in government organizations, and they're around us in the courts. The situation at Alcan is that Alcan wrote a submission to the BC Energy Task Force in 01. It turned into the BC Energy Plan. It allowed for the separation of the transmission system of BC Hydro to make that corporation fail under deregulation, either internally or externally. Externally through NAFTA, with a NAFTA challenge. The NAFTA guys are working on ways to get at it all the time, but eventually they'll do a NAFTA challenge, say that BC Hydro is no longer vertically integrated, which it isn't right this second, because there's this transmission corporation. But that's not true, because we could expunge the transmission corporation and put it back if we stood up and said, it's our water. We just can't sit down and say we'll deal with it in January or February, because it's going to be way too late. So Alcan wrote the wrote the thing that became the BC Energy Plan. It set Alcan up for the fat target. The fat target is Kitimat. And, I, you know, they don't want to go here and talk about this, but Kitimat's got 600 megawatts of power sitting there. Alcan's been slowing the economy, beating people up by causing their property values to drop more than 50%. Tons of jobs at 80 grand a year are lost. There's a whole bunch more. These are Canadians, folks. You know, I mean, I'm not going to sit here. One of you gets shot, I'm going to go get the guy that shoots you. So these guys are getting murdered. We're getting murdered. And Alcan's setting this whole system up so that all of a sudden they come up with this water license situation where the premier goes up to Alcan a couple of months ago and says, we're going to build a smelter. And then you're all told they're going to build a smelter. You can see these nice ads about hydro and everything. What's got nothing to do with building a smelter? It's got to do with giving Alcan the prize for doing this great work and breaking up our system. They're giving Alcan a water license so that BC Hydro can give them so that we can give them a purchase agreement and pay them off. The payoff comes in two different ways. Not only do they get the money, but by breaking the system, by bringing in private power into the system drops into a deregulated market. So you'll hear private power guys whining. I mean, you're never going to get close enough to listen to this stuff, but they whine about the price of the power. You know, they can't make their deals work. It's a little narrow. Well, it's a little narrow until you turn up into a deregulated market and you're paying U.S. prices. Then it's not narrow anymore. And remember that these water licenses are in perpetuity. They're for 40 years, but that's nonsense. They're in perpetuity. In the new world of the corporations, once you're hooked up in an asset, you're never getting off of that asset. We're building the assets. When Seabreeze gets its power purchase agreement, we pay them to build their own generating stations, their own dams, their own facilities, and they're theirs. They're not ours, and that's it. So that's it. Good night, folks.